Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this very day back in 1957 that the song Great Balls of Fire was recorded. Who was that singer? Was it A, Luciano Pavarotti? Was it B, Jerry Lee Lewis? Was it C, Elvis Presley? Or was it D, Perry Como? Great Balls of Fire. Who was that singer anyway? And question number two, it was on this day back in 1962 that the BBC banned a song that became a Halloween classic by Bobby Boris Pickett. What was the name of that song banned by the BBC in 62? Was it A, One-Eyed, One-Horned, Flying Purple People Eater? Was it B, Thriller? Was it C, Monster Mash? Was it D, Ghostbusters? Banned by the BBC. What was that Halloween classic anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of October the 8th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1813 that composer Giuseppe Verdi was born. He composed 26 operas. 1813 today. And it was 36 years ago today, 1985, that a 2.5-acre garden memorial was dedicated to John Lennon by his widow, Yoko Ono. The memorial in New York City's Central Park is called Strawberry Fields, 1985, today.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can.
The rapper Lil Nas X's cover of Jolene introduces our country music news. It's entitled, Dolly Parton has shared her reaction to Lil Nas X's cover of her song Jolene, and she could not have been sweeter about it. This is published in metro.co.uk by Kim Novak on the 20th of September 2021. The country legend 75 shared a photo of her with Lil Nas X, both in fringed outfits, as she wrote, I was so excited when someone told me that Lil Nas X had done my song, Jolene. I had to find it and listen to it immediately, and it's really, really good. Of course, I love him anyway. I was surprised, and I'm honored and flattered. I hope he does good for both of us. Thank you, at Lil Nas X. Dolly also shared the cover, which Lil Nas X had done during his appearance on BBC Radio 1's Live Lounge, on her Instagram story. The singer had impressed with his soulful cover of the country track, a fair few octaves lower than the original version by Dolly.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't
For his part, Little Nas X responded to the praise from Dolly with just two words on Twitter, Holy S blank blank T, which just about sums it up. Speaking about why he chose the song, Little Nas X, real name, Montero Hill, said, I chose this because I feel like his song is kind of like beautifully sad, you know? I like the little country twang, so I was like, let me try this out. It comes after Little Nas X dropped his new album, Montero, earlier in the month, which also features a song with Dolly's real-life goddaughter, Miley Cyrus. Little Nas X is fast becoming part of the Cyrus family, as his huge 2019 hit, Old Town Road, featured Miley's dad, Billy Ray Cyrus. And in classical music news, we have this article entitled, Violinist Nigel Kennedy Cancels Concert After Classic FM Stops Hendrix Tribute. This is published in TheGuardian.com on the 20th of September, 2021, by Delia Alberge. Violinist Nigel Kennedy has pulled out of a concert at the Royal Albert Hall with only days to go after accusing the radio station Classic FM of preventing him from performing a Jimi Hendrix tribute. Kennedy said the culturally prejudiced decision amounted to musical segregation, with the station he now calls Jurassic FM preferring him to play Vivaldi's Four Seasons in Wednesday's show. He was told Hendrix was not suitable for the station's desired audience. Kennedy, the best-selling violinist of all time, had the world's biggest-selling classical hit with his 1989 recording of Vivaldi's Four Seasons. He is also a long-standing Hendrix fan. In 1999, he released The Kennedy Experience, a collection of eight classical interpretations of songs such as Purple Haze and Third Stone from the Sun. For Classic FM, he had planned to perform one of Hendrix's most acclaimed songs, Little Wing, with its Celtic-sounding melody given a new rendition in the style of Ralph Vaughan Williams, who was inspired by Celtic songs. According to Kennedy, he finally decided to pull out after being told that he would not receive adequate rehearsal time, alongside Classic FM telling him how to perform the Four Seasons. He said, they were telling me that I had to do it with a conductor, which I have never done. The communication between myself and the orchestra is much better than having someone doing semaphone in between them and myself. The Berliner Philharmoniker, the best orchestra in the world, never asked me to have a conductor, and they never asked me not to rehearse. Kennedy says a half century of success has been in part due to his unprejudiced style of musicianship. As such, the row with Classic FM was the last straw. My whole career has been about bringing down barriers, he said. Hendrix is one of the foremost composers of the 20th century, along with Stravinsky and Duke Ellington. He brought all types of music together and broke down barriers. Before he died in 1970, he was talking about taking his music into a more symphonic area. I feel such an affinity with his music. Little Wing belonged much more in a classical music concert than my Four Seasons, where I'm quite likely to drag out an electric violin or get a massive group improv going on. Kennedy had waived his fee to work with the young musicians in the concert. Everybody else was going to get paid. I feel sad, as they've got so much to gain from someone who spent their entire life breaking down barriers between different types of music and people. But he admitted he was dismayed to be disappointing audiences by abruptly withdrawing from the concert. Classic FM declined to comment. On November the 4th, Kennedy will publish his memoir and release a 3-CD box set, both titled Uncensored. The book will cover his life story from his humble beginnings to becoming a world-class star. The album ranges from classical to more modern genres. Sergio Mendez, Mas Que Nada, introduces our jazz, blues, and bossa nova news. It's entitled Up Front, What I Know Now. Sergio Mendez, the Brazilian musician on bossa nova, regime change, and serendipity. Written by Ken Miller, AARP, the magazine, September 2021. Sergio Mendez says, when I was 3, I contracted a bone disease. My father was a doctor, so we were able to get penicillin, and that saved my leg. I was in a body cast for a few years. When it came off, I still couldn't ride a bike or play soccer, but my mom said, I'm going to give you a piano. We lived across the bay from Rio de Janeiro. My father was black, my mother's side was Portuguese. A lot of people in Brazil have that combination, and so does our music. I started out playing classical, but in my early teens, someone played a jazz record, Dave Brubeck's Take Five, and I was like, wow! My friends would get together weekly and play records, talk about art and literature, and go to see movies by foreign directors like Fellini. I fell in love with the painter Paul Gauguin because he'd left France for Polynesia. I thought, if he could do that, maybe I can leave here and go someplace. My life has been a series of unplanned encounters that opened incredible doors for me. When I was 18 or so, a friend invited me to play at the Bottles Bar in Rio. Bossa Nova was just starting and I got to jam. I put together a sextet, and we recorded an album that did very well. In 1962, we were invited to play in the first big bossa nova concert at Carnegie Hall, the dream of my life. In 1964, there was a military coup in Brazil, tanks in the street, a horrible time. My son was born that April, and I sent a telegram to my friend Wesley Lee, "Tell Uncle Lee that the order of the day is loose diapers and warm milk." They arrested both of us because they thought it was a coded message to start the revolution. After they let me go, I flew to Los Angeles with my wife and baby and moved into a one-bedroom apartment. I brought over some musicians from Brazil, and we started playing nightclubs as Brazil 65. We struggled. But I recruited 2 talented women and started a new group, Brazil 66. It was a great sound, sultry, sexy, romantic. Herb Albert and Jerry Moss walked into a rehearsal and said, "We're just starting a new label, A&M Records." Serendipity. Our song, Mas Que Nada, the one that opened this program, became a huge hit. My wife and I fell in love at first sight. She's a great singer, great wife, great mother, great grandmother, very positive and encouraging. The pandemic has proved that. When you don't leave the house for a year and a half, it's a good barometer. We interact well, even in prison. But it's so important that people take the vaccine. With the help of medicine and hope, we can get out of this. Thank you. Dan and Claudia Zanes performing the title track from Let Love Be Your Guide album introduces this next article entitled Dan and Claudia Zanes Sing About Justice and Joy on their new album for children. This is written by Mandalit Del Barco, Morning Edition, NPR, 21, September 2021. Social justice, anti-racism, and joy. These are the themes of a collection of original songs written by family musicians Dan and Claudia Zanes. Smithsonian Folkways has just released their first duo album, Let Love Be Your Guide. It's filled with uplifting messages. It's an anthem of love and joy and possibility and community, Claudia says, speaking from their home in Baltimore. The title track is an homage to the late congressman and civil rights leader, John Lewis. The husband-wife duo say they were inspired by the words Lewis wrote in his final New York Times opinion piece, published the day of his funeral. He says, "So I say to you, walk with the wind, brothers and sisters, and let the spirit of peace and the power of everlasting love be your guide," Claudia says. That's a manual for life right there in one sentence, Dad adds. Love was the guide for Dan Zanes, who's known as the godfather of the children's music renaissance. The former lead singer of the 1980s rock band the Del Fuegos, Zanes founded the anti-racist organization Constructive White Conversations. 5 years ago, a friend introduced him to jazz vocalist Claudia Alesia, a music therapist whose family is Haitian American. We got together and sang that whole afternoon the day we met. I knew at that moment that Claudia was the person that I'd been dreaming about my whole life, he says. Ah, yes, Claudia adds, and we've been making music ever since. One of their songs is a duet called Two Different Worlds. It was important for us as an interracial couple to speak from our two perspectives, says Dan, really with the belief that young people are hungry for this. Young people and families want to be talking about these things. Their album of electric folk songs and sing-alongs are in English, Creole, and Spanish. There are touches of gospel, country, R&B, and traditional Haitian music. Some of the tracks include rappers praising Claudia as a black queen and their friends' children lending their giggles to a fun bilingual song about getting tickled.
I've been out walking. I don't do too much talking these days. These days I seem to think a lot about the things that I forgot to do.
Annie Clark, a.k.a. St. Vincent, These Days introduces our rock and pop music news. It's entitled St. Vincent. The chameleonic singer-songwriter, 38, returns with Daddy's Home, an adventurous new album inspired by her father's prison time. This is written by Leah Greenblatt and published in Entertainment Weekly, June 2021.
These days I seem to think about how all the changes came about my way. And I wonder if I'll see another.
Whatever your pre-breakfast game face, just know that Annie Clark's is better. Nestled at home in New York with her toast and cappuccino, the musician best known as St. Vincent somehow manages to make a cotton kimono, dark glasses, and an oversized eye shade shoved carelessly over her brow look almost impossibly chic. Half indie rock Auntie Mame, half Hitchcock heroine off duty. But Would you expect any less from the artist whose mood boards for previous album cycles include Pilled Out Housewife, Near Future Cult Leader, and Dominatrix at the Mental Institution? Transformation is kind of Clark's game, though talk of her aesthetics tends to obscure what a meticulous musician she is. A cut-glass songwriter and instrumentalist, she's had her own signature guitar line since 2016, who regularly outshreds her male peers. Daddy's Home, the Dallas native's new studio album, her sixth, is in a way a response to all that, specifically the story of her father, who in 2010 went to jail for his role in a stock manipulation scheme. Pops was in the clink for 10 years, and he's out, she says. I don't mention it for symphony or for trauma points or anything like that. It's just that story was told without me in a tabloidy way, until she realized she could tell it herself. The result addresses her personal narrative both directly and obliquely in a richly textured album that swings from fat bottom disco funk to a dreamy Pink Floyd haze, its glittery assemblage of Bowie-esque character sketches. After a lockdown spent reading Russian literature for fun, just a little light Dostoevsky, indulging her inner handyman, did some cabinets, did some painting, had a plumbing experience, and staying in touch with famous person friends like Fiona Apple and Paul McCartney. The singer is ready to put this daddy on the road. I wish I was on tour this exact moment, she says wistfully. Give me a hangover and a Qantas airline lounge. Put me in coach. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day back in 1957 that the song Great Balls of Fire was recorded. Who was that singer? Was that A, Luciano Pavarotti? Was it B, Jerry Lee Lewis? Was it C, Elvis Presley? Or was it D, Perry Como? Correct answer. Answer B, Jerry Lee Lewis. As noted in phrases.org.uk, Great Balls of Fire originated as an expression in the southern states of the USA around 1850. It might very well derive from the over 425 biblical references to fire in the Old Testament. The figurative use of the expression great balls of fire clearly evokes imagery of something portentous, or, as current American terminology would have it, awesome. It wasn't until later in the 19th century and in the USA that it began being used that way. The expression came to a wider public consciousness with the 1939 film Gone with the Wind, when it was used as an exclamation several times by the lead character, Scarlett O'Hara. Great balls of fire, it's Rhett. Of course, the best-known use of the phrase is as the title of Jerry Lee Lewis's 1957 hit. The writers of the song, not Lewis, in fact, but Otis Blackwell and the Georgia-born Earl Burroughs, incorporated the southern expression and gave it a euphemistic but clearly lewd connotation. The lyrics leave little to the imagination and are a good distance away from the biblical source. You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will. Oh, what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. And the answer to our second question, it was on this day back in 1962 that the BBC banned a song that became a Halloween classic by Bobby Boris Pickett. What was the name of the song banned by the BBC in 62? Was it A, One-Eyed, One-Horned, Flying Purple People Eater? Was it B, Thriller? Was it C, Monster Mash, or D, Ghostbusters? Correct answer. Answer C, Monster Mash. As noted in an article titled The Strange Tale of Monster Mash, The Graveyard Smash That Will Never Die, by L. Hunt in an October 2020 in NME.com, Bobby Pickett's 1962 hit combines a dance fad with his best Boris Karloff impression and returns year after year. a brilliantly campy gravesard slab of woozy surf rock, Monster Mash is the most monstrously catchy of all the Halloween anthems. No wonder it keeps rising from the dead every single year. Narrated by a gruff Karloff-esque scientist pulling a late shift, the song's lyrics bear witness to a lab-spawned monster wrestling free of a slab and letting loose with a Halloween hit and brand new choreography to match. Originally written by Bobby Pickett, aspiring actor by day, singer in doo-wop group The Cordials by night, the 1962 novelty smash hit first came about when Pickett was performing the doo-wop tune Little Darlin' by the Diamonds and decided to pull out his impression of horror actor Boris Karloff for the spoken monologue. The audience cracked up, Pickett recalled in a 2006 interview with radio broadcaster Dr. Demento, and the rest is, well, history. So, not surprisingly, and a little bit premature perhaps, let's close with...
An eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.
They played the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It got on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster.